Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a glorious summer period with good baseball, delicious crab cakes, and the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have the Pac-Man scratch-offs to give away. My goodness, I have like a whole schedule. I had to like write down everything we're doing here. I'm wearing my State Fair shirt here as we talk some Oriole baseball as we get into late May, early June. We're going to be at Fadley's on Friday. Luke will be joining me there before the Tampa series. Cooper's North will be there on Tuesday of next week. That is the 4th in Timonium. We're going to be promoting Fleet Week down in Fells Point. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour down there. All of it brought to you by our friends at Jiffy Lube Multi Care, as well as our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, making our water nice and clean and safe. On next Thursday, we're going to be at State Fair in the morning. The Orioles play a 1 o'clock game next Thursday against the Blue Jays. So, I'll tell you, we're going to do a little breakfast, brunch, chicken and waffles thing, and then maybe even stay and have a Cobb salad for lunch over at State Fair in Catonsville. On the 12th, we'll be at Coco's Pub in Lauraville. You know, I'm getting the coconut shrimp there. And I got to reach to my co-host with a K, Mike Rossigliano, and see if he's available. That's Wednesday, June 12th. We'll be at Sláinte in Fells Point on the 14th for Fleet Week. We won't be at Fadley's that day. I got to let Thomas Dolby know that. We're going to be at Costas in Dundalk on the 20th. That's before the Orioles play in New York. So we're doing like a 1-4 Oriole pregame Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And then the 25th will be at Pappas in Parkville. There's a mouthful. Luke Jones, how are you? It's good to be back. It's as Keith Richards would say, and he didn't say this the other night at MetLife Stadium, but it's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere. And certainly even good to be in second place when you're playing pretty decent baseball. When I left you, dude, it was like sweep, and they haven't lost since, and the Bradish no-hitter, and like I don't even know where you want to begin. Stowers, where would you like to begin this buffet of Oriole good? Joan Jett squirting people. Things are happening around here in Baltimore.
Yeah, things are happening, and the Orioles are back on track. And we talked about this at the end of the Cardinals series, which was not a good series. I mean, they got swept. You don't want to get swept, but as we reminded everyone, as we've been reminding everyone, as much as I mocked the continuation of the regular season sweepless streak, we also said being swept is also part of a baseball season. Even the best teams, it's going to happen at least once or twice, right? I mean, that's why the streak was so unique, that the Orioles went all of 2023 until October without being swept. But I think first and foremost, they win five in a row, season high winning streak. And I'll say this, it was good timing to play the Chicago White Sox, because even with that four games sweep over the weekend at the ballpark formerly known as Comiskey, it was more difficult than a typical four-game streak is. I mean, it really was. So that's not a knock. It's just the nature of those games where the Orioles showed some resolve, late-inning comebacks, all that, until Kyle Bradish was just incredible on Sunday. So it was a great weekend, and then you come home on Memorial Day, and they take care of business and dismantle the Boston Red Sox with Cole Irvin doing what Cole Irvin has done most of the year, which is pitch well in a starting role as he's back in the rotation with Dean Kramer now joining John Means on the IL for the time being. So good weekend, good holiday weekend for the Orioles. Again, you know, you don't want to make too much out of sweeping the worst team in baseball when you go out to Chicago and sweep the White Sox, but coming home and continuing a good start to their ALE schedule with the Boston Red Sox, who they've now won, what, four in a row against the Red Sox to begin 24. Good weekend. Good five-day stretch for the Orioles at a time where, you know, not just the sweep, but also the John Means injury and wondering what's going to happen with him as he's getting a second opinion on his elbow, and Dean Kramer dealing with a triceps issue that isn't considered, you know, I don't think they consider that dire, but he's obviously on the IL, so he's going to miss some time. So, you know, just good to win baseball games again. And I think anyone who's followed this team now for 2+ years shouldn't be surprised by this. You know, just because they got swept by the Cardinals didn't mean I suddenly thought the Orioles couldn't play baseball anymore. And I don't think anyone really thought that, but good to win five in a row. And to your point, the Yankees continue to play really, really good baseball throughout the month of May, but the Orioles are tied with them in the loss column as they finish the holiday weekend. So I think we need to remember, for as much angst as there has been at times with the health of the pitching, Craig Kimbrell going through his stretch, the offense being perceived as not being as good the last few weeks. And, you know, it's been up and down, but they are currently on a pace to be better than they were last year. For all the angst about the offense, they still lead the AL in runs scored per game. This is a really good baseball team. And that's not to say that it isn't devoid of some areas where they can improve, but they continue to play at a really high level. And I just think the perception, because the Yankees have been so good as well, that the Orioles haven't been quite as good as they've been. And maybe some fans haven't really appreciated that fully, but this is still a really good baseball team. Even if we can talk about, yeah, you know, you'd like to add a bullpen arm or two, or you do wonder if they need to look to fortify the starting rotation, depending on how things are going to shake out over the next month or two. But all those issues aside, this is still a really good baseball team, and a 34-18 record through Memorial Day certainly reflects that.
All right, you can find Luke at it, Baltimore Luke, and just about anywhere that this stuff travels. Dude, my head's spinning on the baseball side because I try to think of post-Memorial Days in the two decades you and I've known each other where we talk about these things, and I don't really even know where to begin. Like, I want to say, do you want to talk about Stowers and the outfield and where we are with Mullins? Do you want to do that thing, or do you want to do the how great thou art Rutschman Henderson thing? And are they all stars, and are they, MVP, like all of that? But the pitching, let's start with the pitching and work our, and we'll unravel back into all of this, because the pitching is the story. It's going to be the complexity of all of it, from the bullpen to now managing. I mean, dude, when I last checked in, we had a 6-man rotation, and we had the press conference said we had a 6-man rotation, and then Means gets stiff. Kramer has a problem. Bradish is throwing no hitters and getting pulled and making, you know, the manager and all the analytics types go crazy. I was following that from afar in New York City over the weekend as well. Chasing Mick and Keith, pitching and where you are with this, because boy, on the good days, you talk about the hitting on and off and whatever, dude, if they don't hit the ball in October, they're going to go home. I mean, no matter how good their pitching is, cause it's been a little bit of that, but they also have this, they're losing 2-3-0 in the eighth inning. They can hit their way out of that. The pitching thing, Burns has been as advertised. Rodriguez, little up, little down here and there, but, and certainly we hope he's better this October and whatever we witnessed down in Arlington 6 months ago, 7 months ago now, he learned some of those things. But that other thing you talked about, even in your 12 thoughts to sort of lead this Red Sox series, that third person, and I don't know where we are with Means, and you can update me on that. The Bradish thing, I think we're always going to be a little squeamish because we spent 3 months, you know, all of February, all of March, all of April talking about if then, and then we look up and see Means after four starts and say, you're on borrowed time when you have this sort of an arm issue. But the pitching, I don't know if it's going to be good enough to withstand the Yankees. I don't know if they're going to go out and make trades. They certainly could. They have so much artillery, young outfielders and stuff to trade with. But the pitching, how are you feeling about the pitching right now?
I mean, overall, I mean, despite the injury concerns, I'm not in a crisis mode about it. And maybe it's just because of the recency bias of Kyle Bradish doing what he did on Sunday, which was look every bit as brilliant as Kyle Bradish looked at his best last year. For me, and I noted this in my 12 Orioles thoughts through Memorial Day, which you can find at BaltimorePositive.com right now, that for me, it was the first time that you really could allow yourself to envision the potential big three of Corbin Burns, Grayson Rodriguez, Kyle Bradish, in whatever order you want to put them. Burns being number one because, you know, he's got more experience, former Cy Young winner. But that first thought that we had when the Orioles, I think it was what, February 1st or 2nd, whenever it was, that they officially made the Burns trade, before we knew that Bradish was dealing with a UCL issue, we thought about it at that point in time. We said, you typically think of starting rotations in October in terms of three. Now, technically, you go with four in a 7-game series, but you think of your big three, And you think of those guys each getting an opportunity to make two starts with the off days. And we said it at the time. You add Corbin Burns to what Kyle Bradish did, which was low-key one of the best pitchers in the American League last year, and what Grayson Rodriguez did over the second half of last year, understanding that October was a learning experience for everyone on this club. But the envisioning that big three pitching games for you in October, taking that top three of a rotation against just about anybody, Sunday was the first time I feel like you could really envision that, even though fully acknowledging October is still 4 months away. It's still a lot of baseball. A lot can go wrong for the Orioles rotation or the Yankees rotation or anyone's rotation. It's pitching. It's fragile. It breaks. We all understand that. And that's why Mike Elias should continue to seek outside help, outside opportunities to improve there. But again, that story is true for everyone. You know, we'll see what Gerrit Cole is going to look like as he continues ramping things up for the Yankees. See if his elbow holds up, for example. But that for me was the most exciting part of this weekend, that Kyle Bradish looked how he looked. And let's be clear, there wasn't even a decision. You take him out after he has thrown 103 pitches through 7 innings, understanding he just returned, you know, less than a month ago from a UCL injury that cost him the first month, cost him all of spring training. But the stuff was fantastic. And Brandon Hyde was still gushing about it on Monday morning as the Orioles returned home and we're getting ready to play the Monday afternoon game. So, look, that's not to say that there isn't concern about the depth. And obviously, you hope Dean Kramer, you hope it's a 15-day situation, and you hope he's able to come back in the way that Grayson Rodriguez came back not long after the minimum amount of time on the IL. You certainly need to look for depth. That's why it's nice to see Cole Irvin, who doesn't wow you, isn't going to blow you away with his stuff, but Cole Irvin second on the team in innings right now. He's been, this is kind of what the Orioles envisioned when they acquired him 2 winters ago. You know, you
It's
need that.
also really a weird mix-up in the rotation for the other team. And you know, that is the when you have really top-notch right-handers and you mix that in, it's what made McGregor effective. If he were on the show, he'd say that.
I mean, it's part of it. I mean, certainly you've got to throw strikes. You've got to make your pitches. Irvin did pitch into some jams, and he pitched out of them on Monday. You know, that's why he was able to get through five shutout innings. And, you know, I commend him for, you know, it's not that 5 innings is this amazing accomplishment, but keep in mind, he'd been in that swing role in the bullpen the last couple of weeks. So for him to come back into the rotation and pick up basically where he left off 2.5 weeks ago, which has been, you know, he's not an ace. You know, he's, again, he's not going to wow you with his stuff, but he gives you innings and he gives you a really good chance to win. So they've needed that. You know, he's one of those guys that's been an unsung hero through the first third of the season. You know, in the same way that you talk like, you know, we'll get to Jorge Mateo in a moment and what he's done for them in the wake of Jackson Holliday's disappointment, you know, with his initial debut. But, you know, with the pitching, you're always going to have concerns. You're always one sore elbow, one sore shoulder, one sore tricep, as the case with Dean Kramer, away from, feeling concerned about that. But you have Cole Irvin, you know, Albert Suarez gave them a good effort. You know, I think it's very possible we're going to see Cade Povich in the mix, who has pitched very well at Triple A. So it's not as though as the cupboard's bare, but certainly you don't want to have any more injuries. And that's where you're holding your breath, especially with Kyle Bradish, who's just
I
been
was going
so
to say
good.
with Bradish,
He's
the
been
thing
so
about
good.
that thing where he goes seven and he's on it's the start of his career, right? Like it was as great as he's been on any given day. It was as good as ever, even with competition. But to project him out another what 130 innings, 150 innings between now and game two, game three, you tell me, whatever it would be, that he's going to make starts every fifth, sixth day for the next 4.5 months and then have his best stuff in October. Look, that's a lot of projecting, but that's the kind of projecting that's necessary to think about what you're going to have in October. Because at the end of the day, you might not love Cole Irvin at this, you know, at this point, but you may appreciate him more if he has to go game three to have that sort of guy later on in the year. Because all of these guys, as we found out, thinking you're going to have six ready to go and Suarez is going to be healthy, and everybody in the bullpen is going to be okay, and Cano is going to be okay, and the two left-handers in the bullpen are going to be okay, and you're going to add, you know, because they're going to add. I mean, the Vieira thing, they're trying stuff already. Like, no Fuji this year, but something like that's around the corner, right? Like, this is always part of the arc of the pitching and how many arms, and you even mentioned Povich. I mean, we're just throwing more names into all of this. Suarez wasn't a name you and I were talking about maybe for 30 seconds in Sarasota the last day down there, but it's not even June yet. And they're really good, but this is what's necessary to massage all of this, because six starters becomes four, and then somebody's not very good or another guy gets sore. The pitching we're going to be talking about, you know, it's the ultimate thermometer on how the team's going to do, because I think they're going to hit the ball. I mean, 2 weeks ago aside, when they didn't hit for a couple of days, I think they're going to hit the ball.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I think maybe not quite as, quite as drastically in New York, because the Yankees rotation has been that good even without Gerrit Cole, but all the other contenders are talking about their pitching. They're talking about their bullpen. They're talking about, do they have enough arms? They're talking about keeping their arms healthy. They're talking about innings limits for younger guys and all the different issues that we've talked about now the last couple of years with the Orioles being good again and being a contender and being a team that is eyeing October once again. So look, that applies everywhere. And I don't say that to be flippant. It's the exact opposite. It shows just the fragility of pitching. You know, it's fragile. It breaks. That's why, yeah, Mike Elias needs to continue to be looking for opportunities. You know, it doesn't mean you have to make a move tomorrow, but certainly, you know, I think we're looking at it through the lens of, yeah, 2 weeks ago, it was the possibility of a six-man rotation. Now, who knows if John Means is even going to pitch again this year, you know, let alone what capacity it's going to be or how effective it's going to be. You feel great about Kyle Bradish right now. And let me say this to answer your question. Is it still a long way from getting him to October and getting him in a healthy state and no elbow issues between now and then? But I'll say this much. When Mike Elias, I think it was February 15th, whatever it was, announced that Kyle Bradish had a UCL sprain and was going to begin the year on the IL, I don't think you had too many people projecting him out Memorial Day weekend to be throwing seven no-hit innings. So he's already defied those initial expectations or pessimism or however you want to characterize it. That doesn't mean it's going to continue, but the further and further he gets out from that initial UCL issue and the PRP injection and rehab and throwing progression and all the different steps that he went through, you feel a little more confident, right? You know,
well, when you're strong enough and sound enough to do what he did over the weekend,
that's where you hope, right? I mean, again, it doesn't mean it's going to continue. And again, we've seen this now. You can't make any assumptions about anyone. I mean, it's just the truth. That's why there's such a concern. That's why this is considered an epidemic, a crisis around baseball with the health of pitchers and how to figure this out in a big picture sense, fundamentally speaking, to try to keep guys healthier. But in the meantime, you're trying to win games. And Kyle Bradish pitching as he pitched on Sunday, boy, I mean, Brandon Hyde said it best. That was top of the rotation stuff, you know, and that's the Kyle Bradish we saw for most of last year. That's why when you added Corbin Burnes to Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez, it was so exciting. So,
oh, were you at the game? No, you were at the Red Sox game. I'm thinking to myself over the weekend, people, I had friends at the game in Chicago texting me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself.
I was actually on my lawnmower during the game.
Thinking to myself, where were you? Because I was walking the streets of New York and kind of quietly, my wife and I took a day and just like on a sun, and we went away and I'm looking down on my phone. But more than that, I was getting texts from Chicago because my buddy Stan went to the game with his wife, who is a White Sox fan. And there were very few of those there apparently over the weekend as well. And eating the elotes, and he texts me, and like, they text me pictures of them under the Aparicio facade at Comiskey. Like, there's a giant sign with Aparicio and 11 that sits, it's a Hall of Fame thing, right? It's a Hall of Honor, whatever they call it there, Ring of Honor, Ring of All. There's a Harold Baines up there. Should be a Wilbur Wood, but that's another story. We'll get into that another day, but never a Lamar Hoyt or a Ron Kittle. But they sent me pictures, and I'm thinking to myself, do you even have a ticket stub? Like, I'm thinking to myself, if there's a no-hitter, what happened? Because you and I went through this whole no-hitter thing. That's why I sort of brain farted on, were you there? And I'm thinking, I was gone all week, and that game was in Chicago. And I'm thinking, you get so few opportunities to be sitting at a no-hitter in the seventh inning on a summer day. And I had a long chat with Tim Wendle, who just wrote a book, really cool book on Civil War, something you might be interested in, Luke. A little semi-fiction, but not fiction, sort of what would have happened to the Civil War if this would have happened, type thing. And Tim's a baseball historian, and he talked about attending two no-hitters. And this is one of those days where, like, everybody's pissed at the manager, but I don't, it's sort of a memorable effort, all the way around. But I wonder if Stan would have had a ticket stub. I bet he didn't. I bet it's digital.
Yeah, and look, I mean, White Sox fans may have been ticked at the manager, but it wasn't even a decision. I mean, you take him out in that spot. I mean, you're talking about if Kyle Bradish didn't have the UCL issue, I mean, you're still talking about, realistically speaking. And if you saw him in the seventh inning, I know you weren't in front of the TV for this game, but he was laboring at the end. I mean, you could tell he was missing up. You could tell it was becoming more of a struggle for him. And what, he had 103 pitches, whatever it was.
Were you ever going to send the WNST text? Because I was wondering that at that moment. Because I literally was in – I was in a sports bar when it was going on in, like, by the Garden. And to be really fair, the Rangers were playing game three of the Stanley Cup against Florida. And I was in a Ranger bar. I mean, dude, they were winning 4-3. They gave up the tying goal. They went to overtime. So I'm watching the Orioles on my phone as it's happening at the time. So everything you're telling me about it is, I mean, you're either with the game or you're not, I guess. And I wasn't going to app it out and do all that nonsense from Manhattan. But, there is a point where, like, you're watching it and you're like, do we jinx it? I went on the Facebook and said, put the game on if you're not watching, because I get the jinxy thing,
Right, right. No, it wasn't anything about that. So I was conflicted. Typically in the past where there's been, like, John Means 3 years ago, typically my thought on this, and you and I have scrimmaged this before, I've typically thought through seven innings, you send it out. I was conflicted to do it there. Because I knew Kyle Bradish was done. I knew he wasn't coming back out for the eighth. It was very evident. 103 pitches, not that far removed from UCL issues. Big picture in mind.
See, I
here.
Like that when I do these shoot interviews on the WNST tech service.
But
find
what
out
I was
behind the
what
story.
I was going to do, knowing that someone else was coming in for the eighth inning, if Danny Coulomb had tossed a score or a hitless eighth, I was going to send it out and say, Kyle Bradish, Danny Coulomb combined eight no-hit innings in Chicago, because I wanted people to have the opportunity to see the ninth.
In progress.
Even if it was combined. But I felt it was kind of a false advertising a little bit to say Kyle Bradish, seven no-hit innings, knowing he was coming out of the game right at that point. So if people turned it on and they say, "What? Wait, I just got this text from NST and Bradish is out of the game." So I was a little conflicted there. So
can I be an old guy and tell you, because sometimes you like sitting on my lap and, like, I let my gray beard come in and tell you an old story. So when I started at the News American in 1984 and 85, so this is, we barely had computers, right? But we had a little teletype in the corner that was the AP, Associated Press, Urgent Bulletin, and dude, it ate paper. The ones with the little dots on the corner where it ripped off dot matrix. And it just went through. And if you're old enough, you know what I'm talking about with that. And it would spit out the urgent things, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it wasn't so urgent and it pissed us off and killed paper, right? It would just give us a race result or something. We're like, stop, But it was so, like, anytime, pick anybody. Mike Torres is throwing a no-hitter in seventh inning in Cleveland. It would pop up and it would say urgent in progress. It would say in progress. And then that became computers when I got to the Sun in 1986 to 92. And I was the guy who did the scoreboard page every night. So this would be an all-night thing that if somebody was throwing a no-hitter in Seattle at 11:45 p.m., it would say in progress. And it was always sort of seventh inning. If you get through seven, that's when the thing would say somebody's got a no hitter through seven. I don't know that as a young person who worked in the sports department in a baseball-only town, we didn't have football around here for you young kids. We had to fight for the football team. We had to fight for the owner to sit on the porch to run from me about questions about Pacific money. So I go back to all of this 40 years ago, but the urgent part, you know, there's nothing in a football game that could be a perfect game. There's nothing in a basketball. You know, Michael Jordan might score 60 tonight, or, you know, nobody's going to approach Wilt. Certainly nobody's going to catch DiMaggio in a night. So, you know, the urgent part of no hitters and getting to the seventh or eighth inning, I it's right there with the Northern Lights for me.
Yeah, and like I said, if that had been Bradish had seven no-hit innings and he was at 80 pitches, Tex would have gone out after the seventh inning. But knowing he was coming out, I almost felt like I didn't want to be Vince McMahon advertising a main event when Monday Night Raw is ending in 3 minutes and you know it's going to be not legit. So that's where I said, okay, I'm going to wait till the eighth. And if the Orioles have a combined no-hitter through eight, I will send it out at that point. Because I know Bradish can be out of the game, so I don't want to send it out. And then people are like, well, they just took him out. So why the urgency about it? So it was a great outing. It was the right decision to take him out. You won't convince me otherwise. This was a big picture decision rather than being worried about seeing if Kyle Bradish.
Dude, you already have Means and Kramer in
right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't even a decision in that regard, but it was great to see him throw the way that he did. He had 11 strikeouts, four walks. And like I said, if you're watching the game, you could see in the seventh inning, he was empty in the tank at that point. I mean, he was held his velocity very well. I mean, no questions about that. I mean, we've said it since he returned in early May, even the starts where, you know, he didn't get very deep and the pitch count got to him. I think if you've watched Kyle Bradish stuff-wise, I think you've been come away pretty impressed overall even before Sunday's outing. So, look, pitching will continue to be talked about. The bullpen absolutely needs more, even though Craig Kimbrel has righted himself. You know, I think he's at up to seven outings now. No runs, no hits, no walks allowed. So that's good to see. But, you know, they need another high-end, legitimate, closer capable arm in their bullpen, if not two of them, quite frankly. But again, lots of teams are saying that. They're winning games. This is a good baseball team. They're on pace to win more games than they did last year.
And boy, these Yankees games set up to be fun, right?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, and that's what I said. I mean, this has the potential to be such – and the Orioles did this with the Rays last September, but the Rays don't have the same cachet. We know that. I mean, the Rays would tell you that even. So the idea of a season-long pennant race with the Bronx Bombers and knowing how well the Yankees are playing, but the Orioles, hey, they're right there, tied in the loss column. Yankees have played a few more games. That's the difference right now. But the idea of that kind of a summer and that kind of a September, I mean, that's fun. That's really fun. So good weekend for the Orioles, good Memorial Day for the Orioles, a five-game winning streak on the heels of being swept, correcting themselves. Still issues, still concerns. Those are fair. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say everything is perfect. It's not, but that same is true of everyone. And in the meantime, Orioles winning a lot of games. And, you know, we'll get to the offense and Kyle Stowers and the outfield and all that as well. But on the pitching side, I mean, the headline from the weekend was Kyle Bradish. I mean, that was absolutely fantastic on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm just going through my pictures of Stan Jablonski, my Dundalk compatriot, who's been on the show before. He's been on the Crab Cake Tour with me, one of my childhood friends. Yeah, he sent me a picture. Dude, there was like nobody at the game, right? Like, he sent me a picture of like his seat on the first base line, and it looks like 3,200 in the South Side eating a low taste this weekend. I mean, so we see what's happening in the crowd, you know, coming out for mustard. Did you get a mustard, a ketchup, or a relish? Which one did you get?
I did not get a t-shirt on Monday. I mean, sometimes they'll give the media the giveaway, sometimes not, and maybe we'll get them later in the week.
Do you own a ketchup mustard?
I think I have a ketchup t-shirt from a couple years ago. I mean,
ketchup on hot dogs? Do you eat them the right way or no?
No, you know, I'll be totally honest with you. I am typically, I don't put anything on it. Typically. Now, I'll do chili, I'll do cheese every once in a while.
You eat it like bologna?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
No
pick.
cheat,
I'm weird.
nothing.
You know I'm weird though. Like, you know I'm not like a
Oh,
big
I know you're
condiment
weird.
person or
Oh, I
anything
know.
like
Yeah,
that.
yeah.
So yeah, it's fine.
We spent enough time together. All right, we're gonna get weird on the offense. Luke Jones can be found at Baltimore Luke. We're back sort of on it. The minute JR connects our connections to our production, we'll be perfectly fine this week. Maryland Crab Cake Tour's out on the road. It's all brought to you by friends at the Maryland Lottery. I want to give a shout out to Cole Roofing and Bill Cole. I've been sort of off the grid. I was out in Las Vegas doing this incredible networking thing with Howard Perlow and a billion people. Saw a whole bunch of former Ravens and local folks. Everybody's been so nice and reaching out. And we have a new website we just launched. We're still tinkering with it a little bit. So it's nothing's permanent. The only permanence and change. A big appreciation to Royal Farms and Toyota and all the folks that power us up, keep us going, Raskin Global. We are going to be getting this Maryland Crab Cake Tour rolling. I'm back in the saddle here this week and making things happen. We're doing a big LLS event on Saturday night, my wife and I, for Visionary of the Year. So I'm going to be having Kate Paris on this week from Accelerant, who I know her. She's been raising funds for leukemia, lymphoma as well. Luke's about to become an uncle again. Deacon Jones becomes Uncle Jones. I'm going to call you Deuce because you're going to be uncle twice. So we got things happening around here, and the Orioles chasing the Yankees just as my dad would appreciate it. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positives. We get back on track.